Welcome to the second episode of the Nerdcast Interviews. This is Cripple J, and this week I talked to Marcus from Deadpan Fury Presents Wow Jizo. Marcus, like me, is a huge nerd. We've been into comics for a long time. I've actually known Marcus for about 10 years through the Inside Pulse message board. There we'd always talk about comic books and wrestling mainly. Since then, though, I've kept in contact with him through Facebook, and our podcasts have kind of crossed paths. Toner's been on his podcast a few times. I've been on there once. And you'll see a lot more crossing over between the two of us. So we talk about DC Rebirth and a little bit of Marvel Comics and a little tiny bit of Image at the end. So if you're not in the comics, this might not be for you. But go ahead and give it a listen and see what you think. Hey, what's going on?
Living the dream, man.
Ready to talk some DC Comics?
Oh, am I?
I know you've been waiting for this.
Well, I'm trying to give it a fair shake because, I mean, my DC bias has been pretty heavy over the past couple years. I went from like 40 titles a month to about two. And by the time the New 52 rolled around, I was out. So, aside from an odd issue here or there, I barely touched it. So, Rebirth was a good spot for me.
Yeah. So, when the New 52 started, how many of those titles did you give a shot to?
I tried most all of them at the beginning. Not all 52, but I probably tried about 35 of them.
Yeah.
A lot of the fringe books. Stuff like Demon Knights or Justice League Dark or Resurrection Man. You know, I'm more of a fan of that than I am the iconic characters, just because there seems to be more creativity involved.
Yeah. I think I picked up Teen Titan and Superboy, and I lasted about 12 issues.
See, I went for a lot of the Wildstorm stuff because I was really big on Wildstorm. Wildcats 3.0, they had done a big World's End thing where they had an apocalyptic event, and all their teams were forced to kind of work together to survive. So I was really interested in seeing if Wildstorm was going to bring something new to the DC universe, and it kind of didn't.
And now that you mentioned it, I picked up the first couple issues of The Authority.
Yeah,
and I thought it was going to be cool with Martian Manhunter in it, but that went nowhere quick.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of felt like a runoff book.
Yeah. And they had some decent Wildstorm books 10, 15 years ago. I would have liked to see them do something with those characters.
Have you ever read Wildcats 3.0?
I picked up the first trade and read it. I haven't gotten the second yet, though.
Second trade holds up, but if you like the first one, you'll really like the second one. To me, it kind of sets such a high watermark that when I see stuff like next issue, Grifter versus Deathstroke, I just, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such an opus that you can't really top it with run-of-the-mill stuff.
All right, I'm going to try to find it. I go to a used bookstore a lot and try to find stuff I miss, so.
Oh, cool. Now, see, I'm usually hitting Comixology anymore. I've pretty much gone digital. But every once in a while, you'll find an old out of print that's just awesome.
Yeah. Like, I picked up most of Preacher that way. I think I've got one book left.
I love Preacher. Don't get me started on Preacher for talking Rebirth, though, because you'll have me ranting for like 6 hours.
All right, so Rebirth number one. What were your thoughts?
Sorry about that. No. You know, to be really, really honest, I didn't mind it, but I didn't think it was all that great. Now, I know that the common consensus is, oh my God, it's 10 out of 10, and Geoff Johns did it again. I just felt like it was the same thing I've read in Countdown or Infinite Crisis or any number one of the Geoff Johns tentpole books. He makes a big promise, he gives us a couple hokey, you know, cutesy moments, and then he moves on. He does it better than, say, Bendis does with his events, and, you know, I don't think it's disingenuous. It just didn't feel like, oh my God, this is great. This is what I've been missing. It felt like a bunch of rationales.
Yeah. As someone that's not as familiar with the characters, I liked it. I mean, I know Wally from the Young Justice cartoons because my kids love that. That's their Flash. So it was nice seeing him brought back. I didn't realize they had a different Wally, though, in the New 52.
Yeah, well, and that's something I don't like. There's a lot of this bet hedging going on with Rebirth. Like, oh, you don't like change? Don't worry, we're going to change it all back. And I think that was one of the reasons, you know, as much as they cry about the legacy, yeah, the legacy of the old DC Universe was great. The Flash, Wally is my Flash, you know. I grew up with him. He's my boy. So it kind of hurt when he got shuffled off into limbo like he did. But, you know, give me a reason to read Barry, and I'll check Barry out. What I don't like about the book is, again, Barry's been their escape clause, or one of their escape clauses, since the New 52 started. You know, he had memories of the old stuff until he didn't, and now he arbitrarily does again. And, you know, it's because he runs faster than time travelers or whatever the fuck's going on, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is. If that's how they need to start their story, okay. But we're also looking at a DC that said that Dick Grayson used to be a Teen Titan, and then no, he didn't, and yes, he did, and now it's no, he was never a Titan, but apparently yes, he was with Wally, so whatever. You know, let the chips fall where they may. If you like the story, it's as good a spot to start as any.
And I'm hoping I can jump in and pick up a few new titles from it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what this thing should do. It should excite you. And that's why when I made a little list of it, because I think I've read every Rebirth issue that's come out to give it all a chance. And I'll do a quick little, you know, one-off about what I liked or didn't like about each of them.
All right, yeah, the only one I read was Batman. And
Batman
I might...
or Detective?
Batman. I was out looking tonight for Detective, and the three places I went didn't have it.
Yeah, I'm not really fond of the Batman. The Batman was good, but the weird part about it is, I don't know how much Rebirth was involved in it. I mean, it didn't feel like a new jumping on point, which I guess is good, but I also didn't get any excitement out of it, like, oh wow, this is Batman like I've never seen him before.
Well,
so, I mean,
and that's kind of like New 52. Batman wasn't really
right.
Impacted at all.
Yeah, it just seems like, well, this book sells, so we'll just leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Which, for a central character, seems weird.
And so I'm guessing We Are Robin is staying in canon, because they've got... I don't even remember this guy's name now. Shoot, I've got the issue here. I'm trying to find his name. The black guy that shows up at the beginning.
You know, I'm not a regular reader, so I can't remember. But, you know, that's the thing that I had a problem with Batman with. And they're, because DC does this hard and fast. Our characters have been heroes for 5 years. Well, that doesn't work for a character like Batman.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about, like, 7 sidekicks and partners in 5 years. You know, that timeline's weird.
Yeah, and... I mean, with redoing the canon and then kind of leaving Batman the way it was, it kind of bugged me. And then they went back and did Year Zero, which was a good story, but I just didn't feel like it fit with anything they'd been doing with Batman previously.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to sound like a negative Nancy, and I think that's part of what the Rebirth stuff's supposed to do, is give us a chance to go, let's stop worrying about continuity and just tell good stories. Except for, again, smack dab into a bunch of continuity bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? A new reader should be able, like, over at All New, All Different Marvel, and I'm not going to wave this flag too heavy because it's got its share of problems, too. But if you go pick up the first issue of Moon Knight or the first issue of Black Panther, which are very convoluted characters who aren't really well-known to the general public, you can get right into those characters. They tell you everything they need to know to hit the ground running. And I don't know that Rebirth's doing that.
Well, since I haven't read the other titles, how was the Flash book?
You know, it wasn't bad, but I don't know what I'm supposed to like about it. I mean, it didn't feel like it was fast paced, but it didn't feel like it was too slow. I mean, it kind of felt like, do you remember, were you reading Flash after Johns did Rogue War?
No.
It kind of felt like there were inventory issues where we're just, hey, we're going to wait for something to happen. And, you know, eventually maybe something, it kind of felt like that.
Okay.
Like, it felt like there's big stuff coming, but we're not going to tip our hand quite yet.
All right.
You know, so I mean, it's not that it's bad, but I placed it exactly in the middle of my books.
So as a person that hasn't read much Flash, but has watched the first season of the TV show...
Oh, you'd absolutely be able to pick it up.
Okay.
That's a strength in that particular book.
All right. That's probably one I'll end up getting just to try at least the first issue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at $2.99, the price point lets you, you know, experiment a little bit. I'd be more willing to try a DC book on Rebirth right now than I would Marvel books that have, you know, that I felt burned on before.
Yeah. But you get the digital copy with Marvel.
Yeah, that's true, too. But DC's also, what, like $1 cheaper now? $2 cheaper?
Yeah.
So Marvel's great for that word of mouth, hey, I'll trade you some digital codes and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, there's pros and cons to both. We're also a pack rat hobby.
Yeah.
So, you know, having all those trades and floppies, that all means something.
Yeah.
You know, so. But, yeah, I'd put Flash in the middle.
Okay. And then Green Lantern?
Green Lantern was near the bottom for me. And now, first of all, I hate Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
So I think the entire premise of Green Lantern just exists basically as a form of eco-terrorism. It's fucking killing trees for no reason. I think that most of the people that have worked on Green Lantern were probably being punished by DC and, you know, probably being blacklisted. Like, if I was worried that this guy was going to jump ship to Marvel, the first thing I'd do is put him on Green Lantern because that book tanks so hard that nobody's going to fucking look at it. But once all that bias gets aside, at first I kind of liked the book. And then I realized that absolutely nothing happened.
So they used two new characters, right?
Two new Green Lanterns. Now, one of them's the older guy, the Simon Boz, I think.
Okay.
They don't even call him by his full name but once, I think. And he's the newest Green Lantern, and people have a problem with him and this and that. And he's an outsider, and he's got, you know, I think he's got the American Muslim thing going on. He's got some sort of thing going on, but it doesn't tell you enough about it. It wants you to know that he feels like out of the two Green Lanterns in the book, he's the senior guy.
Gotcha.
Then they introduce Jessica, and it's a credit that, hey, I can remember both their names after reading this book once. And she seems to be some sort of, like, new power ring, but hooked up in the Green Lantern Corps. I'm not entirely sure, but her ring comes off like the Earth 2 ring, or Earth 3, I guess now, Crime Syndicate.
I thought I heard someone say that's kind of where her ring came from.
Yeah, it's weird.
Hmm. Was it part of the whole thing, getting rid of the different Earths, too?
Well, I don't know that they did, because they undid Crisis.
Yeah.
So if you're undoing Crisis, it stands to reason that you start using a bunch of your multiverses. But that's the thing that's always cracked me up, is Marvel's got a billion multiverses, and they've never, like, if you ever refer to Marvel 11161 or whatever, chances are there's an editor who wrote that down and said, oh, that's Captain Britain's, you know, world where everybody's a tree. And they go, okay, and they never use it again, but they've kept track of it. DC, we want 52 alternate worlds, and we've named them all, and then they never use them. They always go back to Earth 3.
Yeah, and they had Earth 2 for a few books too, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, Earth 2's been running since the 52, but I think they've overhauled that too.
Yeah.
With Injustice.
Oh, so Injustice takes place on Earth 2?
No, but I think... well, again, I think they've changed it around or reincorporated something. You know, it makes it a headache. This is supposed to be a jumping on point, but you're still going to have to hit a Wikipedia for some of these longer running books.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my problem with Green Lantern is you get these two rookie characters and the idea is we're supposed to see the world through their eyes. But instead, we get Hal Jordan show up, tell them both they have to work together because something's going to happen. He gives them a power battery to share and then leaves. And it's like, well, I don't know that any of that rings true except for Hal Jordan being a dick. You know, I mean, if you're going to give these guys rings and you're going to deputize them and you already have 6 million fucking Green Lanterns, throw a rookie with a senior and move on. You know, it feels weird, very forced.
And so Hal's going to have his own book with the Corps, right? And it's going to be Jon Stewart and Guy Gardner and Kyle Rayner.
I don't know for sure because I don't follow Green Lantern because it kills trees.
See, I thought I saw that on Wikipedia. I was looking to see what was coming out to see what I want to spend my money on. So I think that was one of their Justice League family books.
Yeah, well, the last time I heard, Hal was not even using a ring. He was using like magic green backpack.
Oh, you were telling me about that.
And a white t-shirt. And now he's back in the uniform. And again, I can't care enough to fucking hunt it down. All I know is, as I thought that was going to be my least favorite book.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. So they did something right. Huh. You know?
Yeah. So then Superman.
Superman's my least favorite book. Fucking, oh my God. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, you got, okay, I'm going to begin. You got DC's flagship character. Now, Superman is a great character. And I know a lot of people give him shit about, oh, he's a Boy Scout, he's this and that. Now, he could be pretty complicated. He's had some pretty dark material. But I guess New 52 Superman was a jerk. And the best way they had to get rid of New 52 Superman was to kill him off after being publicly outed. And now this is the book of a Superman that resembles the previous continuity Superman who came here and is now picking up the mantle. And it goes from him running around Metropolis trying to resurrect the old Superman to just pretty much halfway saying, ah, fuck it, he's dead. So it's a very weird energy to it. I mean, it's like the New 52 wants to be done and over with that version of Superman, so just get him the fuck out of the way.
And so they brought back the Lois with them and their son?
Yeah, well, and that's to make him a little different and to bring back the stuff they missed, which was the family stuff, you know?
Yeah. So I guess Brody was way off and he didn't need a kryptonite condom.
I guess not, but Superman's also lost his powers enough that, you know, if he does need it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not an issue. So, or, you know, hey kids, comics. He's lost his powers for a couple years here and there. So, you know, it could have even been at the end of the old 52 series where the divergent point was.
Yeah. And I know that this whole Superman story had been leading up in his comic before Rebirth.
Yeah. It seems like this is the most convoluted way to give new readers a jump-off point. Now, action was a lot better, but that first Superman book's just fucking horrible. You could probably skip reading Superman, go straight to action, and be better off for it.
I'm probably just going to avoid Superman altogether. He's not really my favorite character, so.
And see, and that's too bad, because again, he's the guy. Yeah. There's some great stuff, but you got to go back 20 years to read it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. You know, I mean, ugh. And I know that Johns really likes the character, and he's done some high-profile runs with him, but I don't think a modern creator's really done him justice.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that would be my Spider-Man. And I know people talk shit about Dan Slott, but again, Slott's got that book buzzing. It feels different than every other Spider-Man run.
Well, and he brought a lot of people back to the title, too, after Straczynski's run.
Yeah, I like JMS, but that run was weird.
It started off strong, but it kind of fell off quick.
Yeah. My favorite book of the Rebirth that I read was Detective.
I wanted to read that one badly, and I can't find it.
Hell yeah, see, that kid's excited.
Yeah. My kids just got home.
Right on. But yeah, Detective was great, and it addresses the main problem I have, which is, what do you do with this city of sidekicks? Because Batman has every inch of Gotham crawling with a former sidekick, and he doesn't coordinate with them, he doesn't train them, he doesn't do, you know, they're just off doing their own thing until he shows up. And this is basically Batman and Batwoman gathering up all the off-cast sidekicks and training them and getting them to work as a cohesive unit. So you've got Red Robin, you've got Spoiler, you've got Clayface in a weird, like, face turn, which I'm into so far. And you've got the new guy, Harper, I think his name is, maybe. The only people missing, really, are Huntress and Red Hood.
Yeah, and I think they have their own titles.
Right. And they even threw in a Jean-Paul Valley Azrael reference in the beginning, too.
I saw that.
Which was kind of a weird aside. But, you know, usually if you throw Azbats in a book, I'm a sucker.
Yeah.
And they threw in Cassandra Cain. I mean, it kind of looks like it's going to be the breakout title if you're not interested in the Snyder villain fest.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up Batman and I'm going to get Detective. I'm hoping they bring Red Robin back into the Batman fold.
Yeah, I don't like Tim Drake feeling like an outsider. It doesn't ring true to me.
Yeah. Like, when they started the New 52 and he wasn't actually Robin, that really irked me.
Yeah, I don't know why that changed. I mean, because if you needed D-bag Robin, they already, at that time, Damian was still alive.
Yeah.
Still running around freely. And, you know, I guess to change him up from Nightwing, but they already overhauled Nightwing. And Jason Todd was still a D-bag, so, I mean, I don't know what that served.
Yeah. See, I grew up with Tim Drake as my Robin, and he's probably one of my top five favorite characters. So I just couldn't believe the injustice they did to him.
Yeah, I don't get it, because they took a lot of time to make that character interesting and viable. He had some of the best Gotham subplots and storylines. Whenever they talk about wanting DC to have more, like, teen empathy, well, Tim Drake had a great subplot where everybody thought that he was being beaten up by Bruce Wayne, and the teachers and counselors were getting involved in it. And, you know, he would throw these lies up to protect his identity, and they would, you know, cover for it. They did a suicide scare with his buddy Ives.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he had a very likable, believable supporting cast, and then they kind of threw him full-time after Identity Crisis. They kind of just shunted him off into Robin full-time, and the character suffered.
Yeah, and then they brought in Damian and just pushed him even further away.
Damian went from unlikable to breakout character.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, Detective was my big surprise, because I'm pretty hard on the Batman books, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I fully intend to pick up the next issue. My big disappointments overall, because, I mean, I kind of knew they'd fuck up Superman.
Yeah.
I was a little bummed that Wonder Woman, the best they could come up with the Rebirth issue, is maybe her New 52 origin's true, maybe her post-crisis origin is true, but she remembers both of them, and one of them isn't real. And it just seems like that's lazy.
Yeah, kind of a cop-out there.
They did a great job making this Diana distinctive, and while I know that her Olympus has been met with kind of a little bit of scorn from old readers, I like the fact that the Greek gods felt very much like modern, jealous, petty, ageless beings. You know, Zeus ran around having sex with everybody he could.
Yeah.
And for Hera to be mad about it, oh yeah, dude, absolutely. She hunts them all down. You know, I really like the mythological feel to it, and it felt different. The going back to post-crisis hippie Amazon, not quite as interesting for me, and I really think it suffers. Yeah, especially with having her hooked up with Superman and having her Superman dead.
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of weird that they finally did that.
Well, they'd always done some flirting and stuff like that, and they had, you know, quick stuff after the crisis. This was a Kardashian-Kanye type super couple bullshit.
Yeah.
And for being as high profile as they wanted it to be, it just feels like it really kind of left Diana with nothing to do on it.
Yeah. And, I mean, she kind of did the same thing with Batman before all of it, too.
Yeah, well, and Aquaman. Yeah. I don't know what it is about DC editorial, but they like pairing her up, but they don't want her... I don't know. It just seems like she has very adolescent type of dalliances. They're very quick, and they're very disposable.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like it's a deliberate thing. It's just like, oh, yeah, they can... The last time I felt like there was an obvious, like, romantic storyline that made sense for Wonder Woman was when Nemesis basically told her she wasn't worthy.
Hmm.
You know, because she hid behind the warrior bullshit. And that was kind of cool because Tom Tresher isn't necessarily in her wheelhouse. So that was kind of a neat little throw.
Yeah, they've got some work to do with her with the movie coming out.
Yeah, Aquaman was another one.
Yeah.
The Aquaman book I didn't care for. It felt very boring and bland. And I think that's too bad because Abnett's a high-profile guy.
Yeah.
And he's written some fantastic books about characters with no respect. Like, I mean, Annihilation Guardians? Was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we wouldn't have a Guardians of the Galaxy movie without him.
No. His Legions of Superheroes run was pretty damn readable, too. You know, back when he was DNA.
Yeah.
But he's a good creator, and his Aquaman's very boring. His Aquaman reads like you or I, somebody asking us, hey, what's an Aquaman story? He'll fight sea terrorists. Okay.
And talk to fish.
But, yeah. Well, they even make that a running point of can he talk to fish or not?
Yeah.
Well, no, of course not. Fish are too stupid. You know? Every time he talks to Mara, he's calling her my beloved Mara out loud, like over and over. Every single time he refers to her. And it's like, man, you're just asking for somebody to harpoon her.
Yeah.
Because that's how DC rolls.
She'll end up in a refrigerator.
Yeah, well, I trust DC not to do the kill shot right away.
Yeah.
But you're not going to convince me that they're not going to start dusting off some of these rebirth characters.
Especially when a book's kind of tanking right off the bat.
Yeah.
So did you read Green Arrow?
Yes, I did. I didn't care for it. I didn't think it was bad. But I didn't think it was great. I think they put too much into the idea of, oh my God, these two are so fated to be together, but they didn't show you why.
Him and Canary?
Yeah. You know, they put them into each other's radar, and then they kind of just sat there and kind of hovered. And it's not even like a tense hovering.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like watching, you know, The Wire. You throw fucking Stringer Bell and one of his idiots in a room together, and eventually there's going to be something interesting or illuminating in the conversation.
Yeah.
But you get... You know, fucking, you get D'Angelo and one of his morons sitting on the couch, and you're probably getting 6 hours of them watching each other go, I, you know, to anybody walking by.
Yeah.
And it just feels like Canary and Arrow spend the whole book going, I, to each other. There's no depth to it, and it doesn't show anything why the, like, old relationship was fun.
Yeah.
You know, that bugs me. Because that was a really cool... That was probably one of DC's best couples.
Yeah. Yeah. And the TV show hasn't even touched upon that the same way, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what DC was doing there, but I'm also kind of glad that they didn't feel an obligation to sync this stuff up too close to their TV stuff. What the hell happened there? TV show stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, Cisco, Vibe's got a presence in the New 52, and it's nothing like the show.
Yeah.
I'm sure Killer Frost has popped up already, and if it's Caitlin, I'd be impressed.
Yeah, I think it was her Earth 2
oh, okay.
Alter Ego. I don't know. I haven't watched a season of it yet, so I have to wait for Netflix.
Yeah, it was really good in parts, but the really bad parts didn't make up for it. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it for you too much, but ups and downs.
Yeah.
It didn't have the tight focus of season one.
Hopefully they can get back to that next season.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could, sophomore slump, yeah. It happens. It's very rare that a show hits one out of the park season one and two, you know?
Yeah.
True Detective was considered pretty amazing, and its second season tanked it, so...
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but I'm only going to watch the first season.
It's worth watching.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
But, so yeah, so far, you know, I mean, it's probably more entertaining if I was just outright fucking bitter about these books, but they're not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from the Superman one, and like I said, even action was much better.
So then the other two things that have come out of it are the three Jokers.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, that just feels like bet hedging.
Yeah.
And unnecessarily complicated. And I don't like unnecessarily complicated unless there's a valid reason for it or an entertaining one.
Yeah.
Cap yelling Hail Hydra as a cliffhanger. Okay, it's got my interest, but if you're going to turn it into a 70-year retcon, I'm going to roll my eyes and stop reading your book.
Well, the movies make too much money for them to actually do that, so you know it's not going to stick.
Well, but at the same time, I don't know how slavish they are to the movies. We got a female Thor running around, and Natalie Portman's off the grid.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, and Rhodey, you know, if you've read Civil War II, Rhodey's not going to be matching up with his Marvel place or Marvel movie place anytime soon.
Yeah. Which I don't even want to talk about Civil War 2.
Yeah. As far as a new startup thing goes, I really do think they made a sincere, concentrated effort to get back on track. I think they oversold it a little bit. Because it's not the clean, clear, new reader jumping point that they claim it is.
Yeah. Well, and for $6 to just read about what was going on at a party and have all the action happen out of the book.
Yeah, dude, a flashback to your pivotal scenes kind of cheap.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have that free comic day book. And then I went back and found it, and I'm like, well, you know, I mean... I didn't think She-Hulk was in that much danger. It's, again, Bendis event, so it's kind of like a Michael Bay book.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone's like, oh my God, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have She-Hulk's, you know, data. And it's like, well, they did when they contained her, and they did when they just fixed her a couple issues ago. You know, I mean, it just seems very, don't think about it, keep moving.
Yeah.
And that's what I didn't like about the Superman rebirth. You know,
yeah.
I want to be able to think about it. I want to know what this character means, what the story is trying to say. And I know on one hand I could just say, hey, kids, comics, and read it in 5 minutes and hand wave it. But, you know, when you want this stuff to have a little bit of depth and substance, you know, you don't read The Death of Kraven in 5 minutes.
Right.
And
you want to come back for the next issue.
Yeah. And Superman had me running away. If action hadn't come out the same week that the other stuff did, and I was, you know, oh, I'm going to check these out before we talk, I wouldn't have picked it up, because that Superman burned me that bad.
Yeah. So the other big thing is tying it all into Watchmen.
Yeah. That's just a hand wave whatever, man, because they didn't seem to care about what they've done to the Wildstorm stuff. They've incorporated it. So, other than pissing me off because, you know, I remember the day when Watchmen was sacred and blah, 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 you know, I don't know what that accomplished. In 10 years, they'll probably tie Fables into it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what to say, you know. It is what it is. I still don't tell anyone to check out any of the new Watchmen material.
Yeah. Like, I love the original. I wish they would have never touched it again, but it was inevitable after the movie came out.
Right. Well, and Alan Moore. Every time they renew the rights, it pisses off Alan Moore, so that's fun. You know, I mean, Alan Moore takes that thing so for, you know. Yeah, I just don't know why. Okay, you know, why not? They all have a blank spot in 1985. Well, how old are these characters? Because Batman's only been doing this for 5 years, supposedly. Or yeah. 5 years at the start of it, so.
I guess it could be worse. It could be the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie.
Yeah, oh God, you know.
Like,
I just don't know. I don't know what the end game is, so it's hard to judge it right now. I just don't think that there's much to bring to the table other than, is it going to be the DCU versus Dr. Manhattan? Ooh, neat. You know, I mean.
Yeah, and I think it's just kind of funny how Watchmen was originally this series that was kind of like this meta look at comic books, and now they're going to use it as the focal point on restarting everything.
Yeah, well, yeah, because it's weird because Watchmen's whole gimmick or hook was that it was shit that you didn't see in a comic book.
Yeah.
And now, since Identity Crisis, you see shit worse than Watchmen in every month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, I remember when they had Prometheus rip that, you know, new blood hero in half and throw her body in a dumpster. Anima, I think it was, you know, and yeah. Stuff like that. And that was just to show everybody what a badass Prometheus was before Green Arrow killed him the next month.
Yeah. Yeah, there, yeah, he was supposed to be the next big bad guy, and he didn't last at all.
Yeah, well, again, though, I think that's a lot of DC's problem is editorial. Because I don't know that it's creative. I think DC comes up with some creative stuff. Even the New 52 is very creative. I trash it a lot, especially early, because it felt like they were trying to hook old readers on regurgitated themes. Oh, look, Superman, he's about to fight Doomsday. Well, yeah, but Doomed was a very different story than the death of Superman.
Yeah.
You know, they tweaked it. I saw Death of the Family, and I thought, oh, they're going to kill a Robin. And instead, Joker, you know, broke down Batman's trust. You know, there's neat stuff to be had there. You know, I think the Court of Owls and Night of Owls are one of the few modern creations that are going to stand the test of time.
See, New 52 almost felt like they were trying to do an Ultimate Universe.
Oh, absolutely.
And it just completely failed.
The only reason why we didn't get an all-star DC line is because they didn't want to play second fiddle to the Marvel stuff. And I really think that if they had done some sort of like that DC all-star stuff and wrote it out for a while and had two separate lines, not just a Superman book, not just a Batman book that never came out, but if they had put the two lines out, they could have gauged better which characters fans were interested in and which ones needed help.
Yeah, and that Batman book was amazing. Or the Superman book. The Batman book...
Yeah, All-Star Superman was fantastic.
But, yeah, the All-Star Superman was one of the best Superman stories I've ever read.
Did you read Hitman?
I've got the first trade. I haven't read it yet. It's in my pile.
There's a Hitman issue that features Superman that won an Eisner.
Okay.
And it's like, I want to say around 34 or so, but it's an amazing issue that has a great take on Superman.
And that was Ennis, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to find that.
Yeah, Mr. Toilet Comics fucking busted out one of the fucking greatest Superman books in the modern era. You know, John Byrne did some good stuff. Jurgens takes a lot of heat for that kind of old style now.
Yeah.
But he had some good Superman stories here and there. But he was also part of that constant event thing that they were doing with Superman.
Yeah.
Where he had four titles a month and they were all like 8-issue stories, so you had to follow each book for 2 months.
Yeah. Or introducing a new Superman in each one of them.
Right, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. So while we're while we mentioned it earlier, Civil War II. Are you going to stick with it?
Nope, I'm out.
Yeah, one issue.
Well, one issue in that Zero issue, which cost me like $5 for a fucking Zero issue, and then the free Comic Day book that, you know, so I'm three in, and then I accidentally read a Spider-Man issue, which was Christus Gage, because I thought it was issue two, and I'm like, ah, fuck it. And nope. The Christus Gage Spider-Man was a good story, very small scope, but there's no way I'm sticking with that event. Unless something just amazing happens, there's no way.
Yeah, I'm out. Even the secondary titles, I used to buy every X-Men book that came out. So, like...
me too.
I have X-Men Secret Invasion and all those books, and I don't even think I'm going to do that this time. Maybe Deadpool, but that's it.
Yeah, well, but... I think right now, you know, and it's kind of unfair to judge these two types of events because I think they've editorially really pushed for the idea that Rebirth is supposed to be a cherry pick and not a big banner event. And Marvel's decided that Civil War 2 is going to touch every single book and have, you know, lasting changes to come, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, they do that with every event in Marvel.
Yeah. And, you know, I was in it for Secret Wars, and I, you know, because I like the Hickman Avengers run.
Yeah.
But now I've got Avengers teams that I pick up the book, and I read an issue, and I go, eh, nah, you know. There's nothing that's as engaging to me right now compared to Moon Knight and Black Panther.
Those are two books I need to pick up. I was picking up Karnak. I got the first two issues of that, but that just doesn't come out frequently enough to be worth it.
Yeah, I like Karnak. I mean, because it's so different, and I have a lot of friends that are shitting on the Inhumans right now.
Because they're destroying the mutants?
Well, but I mean, okay, here's my thing. I understand, and I, in a way I kind of get, because I was right there. Oh my God, they're back to the mutants being hated and feared, and didn't we come all this way, and blah, blah, blah. And there's Fox is screwing Marvel, and Marvel's trying to screw Fox, and it's all about money. And then when I thought about it's all about money, I'm like, when did mutants make the most money? Oh, when they were feared and hated by everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. So they're near extinction again, because that's when they made the most money. And they're feared and hated by everybody because that's when they made the most money. And people are actually treating mutants like a precious commodity in story now, which is, you know, how they used to be the cash cow. You know, it used to be if you were going to get a mutant guest star in a book, you got Wolverine, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Maybe Beast in an Avengers book, but, you know, for the most part, no, you got Wolverine. Now you can, you know, pick up an issue of Spider-Man and have Cannonball in there. You know, you can have Sunspot showing up almost anywhere. So I kind of get it.
Yeah.
I still get the whole, you know, fans hate the idea that the fucking X-Men are gone. But then they seem more special again.
Yeah, and I like seeing those secondary mutants showing up places. Like, Cannonball was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
In the early X-Force days.
Yeah, did you ever read the Mike Carey run?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I love that run because you had Iceman and Cannonball being heavy hitters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was right up my alley.
Yeah, that was a good run. I like the fact that they brought him over to the Avengers then for a while, too. And yeah. I know Sunspot's still over there running his own team.
Yeah, Cannonball's kind of a question mark unless I've missed where he ended up. He might still be over in, like, the Shi'ar Galaxy with Smasher.
Yeah, I don't know. I was reading that Avengers run with the two of them and just kind of fell off because of money.
Yeah, well, and that's another problem. If you do the math, like back in the day when they were talking about like Civil War is a big event, and mm-hmm. Civil War is only 7 years ago, it was something like $80 a month to pick up every book.
Yeah. Well, and if you're someone like me that was drawn to the mutants, I mean, you're spending $50 a month just getting X-Men books. And that doesn't even take into account the secondary characters or like Wolverine with his own title. So I've kind of stepped back from all that.
Yeah, I still groan when I see, oh yeah, Logan's dead, but we have, you know, old alternate universe Logan, and we've got inverted Sabretooth, and we've got Dakin. You know, yeah. I mean, stunts are stunts.
Yeah.
And DC's had no shortage of stunts. So I am kind of impressed that, yeah, they did their 80 page, and then they kind of get the stunts out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that. I do appreciate that. I like that I didn't have to pick up Flash to understand Green Arrow. You know, they're trying to make it accessible. I don't know that they hit their mark, especially because these are still very run-of-the-mill superhero books. And I like variety, you know?
Yeah, but I know a few new readers that have gotten into Rebirth because they heard it's a good jumping-on point.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Batman, I'll still say, hey, you know what, start with Court of Owls. Court of Owls was cool as hell.
Yeah, I need to go back and read that one.
Yeah, and that one goes on sale all the time, and that's some of Snyder's, probably some of his best work on the title. You know, I've actually gone back and I read Zero Year, which I didn't when it first came out, because I wasn't that interested. And then I'm like, huh, I wonder if any of this Batman Rebirth stuff. So it actually accomplished its purpose. It got me to check out stuff I didn't want to look at.
You know? Yeah, but
and
then
I don't feel robbed, so.
Yeah, but then you kind of groan when Jim Gordon is your new Batman.
Well, but even that, like, Batman's been replaced since I've read the book, like, 3 times.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it because it's temporary. You know, and to everybody else, though, or to a lot of people, this is the first time they've ever lived through it. So, oh my God, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between killing a Flash and killing a Flash every crossover.
Yeah. Or using Flash to restart everything.
Right.
So, as a fairly new DC reader, I mean, I've read some of the main titles. I've read Crisis. I've read Death of Superman. I've read a lot of Robin and Superboy. What's the essential stuff I need to check out?
Well, what are your tastes? Like, just traditional superhero stuff?
I read pretty much anything. If it can keep my attention and it's a good story, I'll read it.
Okay. The old Ostrander Suicide Squad was one of my favorite books. You know, the premise, it's going to be the movie. So, I mean, you pretty much know the premise already. It's the Dirty Dozen with D-list supervillains.
And Harley Quinn.
Right. Well, back in the day, she wasn't around. But, I mean, yeah, one of the appeals of it was Ostrander would take these guys, make you hate them, then make you root for them, and then bump them off.
Yeah.
And he worked with his own corner of the DC books. So if somebody got apprehended in Batman, you're like, oh, shit, we just got Deadshot. So chances are he's going to end up in the Suicide Squad. And then you turn around next month and boom, there he is. You know, the old school Manhunter book and the more modern version were both one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was the Kate Shaw one.
The Kate Spencer one. Kate Spencer. And the Mark Shaw one.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Mark Shaw. His first 4 issues were originally going to be a miniseries, and it's a very complicated story about honor and duty and loyalty and the nature of masks, and it's this really sophisticated story that you normally wouldn't see. There's a Deadshot mini from Christus Gage about 8 years ago that still stands up. I want to say it's called, like, Bulletproof, maybe?
Okay, he's had some solid runs on other stuff before.
Yeah,
so.
And this was a good character study that could have been a gimmick. Gail Simone's Secret Six was a fun read.
Yeah, I heard a lot about that. I've done Death in a Family. I think I've got that on my bookshelf still. A lot of Batman stuff. Year One. Dark Knight, of course. I'm trying to think if there's anything else key that I need to read. I read the first Swamp Thing trade.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much anything is key right now.
Yeah.
My favorite Flash run is a Wally story called Terminal Velocity, which was basically, it's a Mark Waid pen story where the more the Flash uses his powers, the faster he's becoming part of the Speed Force. And at the time they did it was at a time when they were replacing and killing off all their characters. And, you know, spoiler, Wally doesn't die, but it kind of reinforced why he was such a great hero.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things about Waid's run.
Yeah, Waid's run was really, really good. You know, he's a very creative guy when they, you know, let him loose.
Yeah. What about the Jeff Johns run?
You know, I liked parts of it, and then there are parts of it I just, you know. Johns is kind of like that DM that spends 2,000 hours on your Dungeons & Dragons game. You know, so, I mean, he's got these very detailed characters, he's got this precise way he wants to do it, and it all works. And then you go, okay, but we went off map, so what do we do now? And he goes, kill him and replace him. You know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
It just seems like he... It's like George R.R. Martin, you know, how it just feels like he's got this meticulous ball that's complicated, and it's fun for that first trip around, but when you start thinking about it, it falls apart.
Yeah. All right, and then give me some Marvel stories. I've read a lot more Marvel than DC.
Okay, well, if you're feeling ambitious, the Hickman Avengers run that started with Marvel Now was huge. You know, I mean, it led into Secret Wars. It's the incursions and the Illuminati.
Yeah,
you know. That's like 90 parts all said and done. But it was a fantastic story.
And that includes, like, his Fantastic Four stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it started in his Fantastic Four. There's little bits and pieces that he picked up from other writers.
Yeah.
But it's also very daunting. I mean, to sit down and go, I'm going to make a 90, you know, issue commitment to something, yeah, that's pretty heavy. You know, especially if you're... I own my books. So... You know, I mean, 90 issues, you know, giving some guys some cash, and if you buy the first six and you don't like them, you know, well, it's
yeah.
hard to walk away knowing, well, maybe it gets better.
Yeah.
Know? And that's how they always get a, you know, pack rat.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that problem.
The Black Panther's solid. I love that book. Very accessible.
The current?
New, yeah. Okay. The new Moon Knight is great. My favorite character, and this is shaping up to be a great run, he wakes up in an insane asylum with doctors telling him that he's hallucinated his whole career. And the more he tries to escape, the more he gets different points of view on what could be real or not. His god that nobody else has ever experienced is showing him that Anubis and all these other Egyptian myths are alive and well in New York, and they're trying to overtake the spirit world. So it's got a very bizarre kind of Lovecraftian feel to it.
Okay. You liked his Warren Ellis run too, didn't you?
Oh yeah, his Ellis run was great.
Yeah. And then they had Bendis after that, and I don't think that was quite as good.
The Bendis run was before it.
Oh, was it?
It's not that it's bad. I hate it. But it's not that it's bad, it's just not the character.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of an excuse to write Wolverine and Spider-Man. You know, and I've already had plenty of Bendis. And I don't want to sound like a shithead, because Bendis has written a lot of stuff I like. His Daredevil run's untouchable.
Yes.
His Powers run was great.
Yeah.
You know,
Ultimate Spider-Man
was really good. I even like Miles, and, you know, I guess I'm not supposed to, because I'm an old guy. But, you know, it's when Bendis has a solid idea and he has time to work on it, it's fantastic. When he gives me an event, I'm like, nah. And his Moon Knight, I did not like.
All right. What about non-Big Two stuff? Anything?
I like The Wicked and the Divine. I read Saga.
Saga's good. I've read the first... 5 or 6 issues of Wicked and Divine and liked it, but then just kind of fell off.
Yeah, it's one of those I read and trade.
Yeah. So did you read Phonogram?
No, any good?
I haven't. A lot of people compared it to Wicked and Divine, so I'm curious about it.
Huh, I'll check it out, though. I read Chew, which I liked.
Yeah, Chew was good.
You know, Walking Dead, but I let Walking Dead get to the phone book size compendiums anymore before I buy them.
See, I was buying the trades and then got to the point where I caught up and at about issue 100 and started buying the actual issues. And the completist in me is not liking that now, so I might go back and buy the trades just to throw on my bookshelf.
I mean, I read Black Science.
That was good. I read the I read the first run on that. That I like that a lot.
Fear Agent, which is another Remember book.
I read the first arc of that. That was good, too.
Low. I liked Low.
Who wrote that?
That's another Rick R. book.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. Because yeah, I liked his X-Force a lot.
Oh, Uncanny X-Force is probably the best work anyone's ever going to do with those characters.
Yeah.
You not only get a complicated answer to would you kill Hitler as a child with superheroes, but you also get superheroes walking away so dirty about something that they're done.
Yeah.
I was actually pissed when they dusted off Psylocke and had her go right back into Ass Kicker Ninja.
Yeah.
Because it was like, man, all that work, you know. On paper, Deadpool as the moral conscience of a team should not work.
Yeah.
And that book was amazing.
I've been trying to talk Madden to reading that. And
oh, yeah. That's if you have a buddy that's into Deadpool but not necessarily into comics, that's a good gateway right there.
I think everyone's into Deadpool right now, though.
Yeah. I don't like him in Uncanny, but I think Uncanny Avengers as a book is trying too hard to, like, I don't know, be the happy cooperation book.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel fun or exciting to me, and it should.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple arcs down the road.
I'm starting to get worried they're going to overexpose Deadpool like they did with Wolverine and Punisher in the past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that ship has sailed, too, because Deadpool's been so many places now that it's almost just a joke that he's there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it kind of works. But the biggest solution, because I used to be one of those raging fanboys, hated Superboy Prime, and, oh, you crossover stunts and you whores with Wolverine. And the honest answer is, if you don't like a book, don't buy it, and it goes away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I hate seeing books I like go away. But if you don't like gratuitous Deadpool appearances, don't pick them up.
Yeah.
You know? And as you get older and comics start competing with kids and other hobbies and life insurance and all this fun shit, you know, you start making hard choices and go, do I really need the variant cover of the Fantastic Four with all of them dressed as Deadpool?
Yeah.
And sometimes the answer isn't absolutely.
You know, yeah, so. Agreed. Especially when your kids start getting into comics.
Are your kids reading?
Yeah, my oldest daughter's 8. I've given her the first 3 Runaway trades, and she loved them.
Oh, right on. See, Runaways is one of my favorite titles.
Yeah. I've given her the first 2 books of Sentinel, and she loved that. And so now she's kind of branching out into, they had some IDW kids stuff that she was getting for a while. And then my 7-year-old daughter's into Superman, so she was picking up Superman Family.
Oh, right on.
And she's starting to get more into reading older kid comics. So, my son's 5. He loves all the characters. He's going to, as soon as he's reading, he's going to be reading everything. And we went into a comic shop tonight, and they had all the figures out. And he was with his cousin, and he's telling him every single one of the characters and who they are and where they're from and what teams they're on. So he's doomed to this lifestyle.
Is he checking any of the, like, are you showing him any of the Justice League Unlimited stuff or anything like that?
Yes, they love both the Justice League series. They've watched all of Young Justice, Ultimate Spider-Man. Pretty much anything with superheroes is popular around here.
Right.
They've seen every Marvel movie. They've seen the last Batman trilogy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was a little worried about that, but they caught a little bit of it, and they got sucked in, and then we watched all 3 of them in a day.
Oh, well, there you go. One of my nephews has watched all the Spider-Mans, because, you know, Spider-Man was his thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's 7, so, or 6 at the time, but, you know, he got into them. The Marvel stuff seems to be a little more kid-friendly. However, there's some of the Marvel offerings that are so kid-friendly, I roll my eyes and get the hell away from it.
Yeah.
And I can watch Justice League Unlimited, you know. I have the DVDs to that, and I'll watch that, you know, the entire season consecutively.
I'm trying to find the old Batman cartoons so they can see those and experience a great Batman.
Oh, the Batman animated series?
Yeah.
I think Amazon might have added that to Prime.
Oh, really?
You have Amazon Prime. It was for a while. Let me check right now for you, sir.
All right.
Yep, included with Prime membership. Looks like at least through season... At least through the four seasons of Batman the Animated Series. So before it moved to Batman and Robin.
Okay.
But yeah, that's some solid... Again, all ages doesn't necessarily mean dumb.
No.
And DC's really done a good job with their outside comics and their movies. They seem to do okay.
Yeah.
You know?
See, the other big thing in our house is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, well, Groot and Rocket pretty much doom you with kids.
Yeah. We had to go out and buy all those Marvel figures that had the connecting Groot. 25 bucks a pop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got all my old action figures, so he's got those early 90s X-Men figures, and he loves all those.
Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. My mic cut out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the kids... See, and that's another thing I think we kind of lost in this. You know, the Batman Adventures back in the 90s, you know, I was reading Nightfall, and they had all the, you know, Azbats tearing through Gotham and hanging people on meat hooks and shit like that. And then they had the Batman Adventures, which was the all-ages adaption.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be damned if the all-ages book wasn't just as good most of the time as anything being, you know, pushed out in the main continuity.
Yeah, I had a friend that was buying that instead of the main Batman book at the time.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was a huge, like, fan boycott, too.
Yeah.
But, or allegedly huge. But, because it was in the birth of the internet, so you didn't get to see the full fanboy rage except in the letter columns.
Yeah.
And I knew early on, too, the best way to get in the letter column was to be negative. Because, you know, the praising stuff, eh. You know, say that you like it, and they go, oh, yeah, of course you do. Say you hate it, and they want to argue with you.
Yeah.
And it's easier to be trollish, I think, online.
Yeah. All right, sir, well, that's all I got.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks for talking to me. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm trying to get the guys together to do a recording.
Yeah?
Maybe one night, or late this week, or early, or during the weekend, maybe?
Weekends are easier for me. Let them know, hey, you know, if they're intimidated by me or they're worried that, you know, Joe Dust isn't going to sound as funny with me being insulted. You know, I get it. I understand why they're scared, you know. I mean, I guess we could have some wrap-off with me and Toner.
Nice.
I don't know if Toner's really up for that kind of game either.
No, Toner's game is pretty weak.
Yeah, I mean, I can't rap because I think it's crap. Hi, Toner. Ball's in your court, dude. I've got a couple people, too, that are always more than willing. Evidently, one of my co-gunners, old Sparky, she likes to have a glass of wine or two while we podcast, so she might be right up your guys' alley.
Oh, nice.
You know, and I'm still working on getting that brew for you guys. I just have to figure out how to exactly ship it without going to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could send you guys like 8,000 guns and nobody's going to jail. But if I send you guys a 12-pack of Sierra Nevada, they're going to fucking lose their shit on me.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm trying to figure out how that works.
I've heard FedEx is the best way to go.
That's what I've heard, too, but I would never endorse such a thing.
No, of course not.
But no, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
No problem. We'll do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. This is Idiot King by Mike Doty. Everything's going up. Everything is going as planned, yeah. Everything moves along. Everything is fine, fine, fine. Well, I could be condemned to hell for every sin but littering. Oh, I could slip on the East River and crash
and the queens all skittering. I've seen the cops and the robbers, and I know they dance the same well. I've seen a half a zillion girls, and haven't spoken to a single one of them. Dwindling, so they're gone, gone, gone. And I said, everything is going up. Everything is going as planned, yeah. Everything moves along. Everything is fine, fine, fine. Baby, can I change my mind? I just wanna change my mind. Baby, can I change my mind? I just wanna change my mind. Fine.